for us again. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. The Lord is our salvation. Father God, we bow before you and surrender to you as our salvation, as our life. We give you the glory this morning. You deserve the glory. You deserve all the honor. You deserve all the praise. And God, we bless your name. We exalt you as the highest God, the King and Supreme Ruler of the universe. You are our Savior who has wiped away our sins and washed us clean with your blood. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for freedom and healing. We thank you for grace that gets us through the difficult times. And Father, I want to pray this morning for those that are going through trials, that are being attacked with temptation, that are being attacked by the evil one. God, I pray that you'd undergird them with your praise, that you'd undergird them with the power of your Spirit and the truth of your holy word. And God, that whatever they're going through at this time, that you would show your salvation and show yourself strong and mighty to save, that they might have perseverance through the pain, perseverance through the chaos, perseverance through the trouble. Oh God, we give you all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we come this morning to our new series today. What is a healthy church member series? And God has called us all to be healthy church members, to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, to serve Him well. And we're going to go through the characteristics of what a healthy church is. And if you did not yet get the book, on the back table there is a book. So after Sunday's message, you can read chapter 1. So today's message is on chapter 1. It will help you understand what the chapter is about. But they're really short. It doesn't take very long to read them. They're just a couple of pages. So I'd encourage you just to take the time, even if you have to read one paragraph a day or one page a day. It's not that long. I encourage you to dig a little deeper throughout the week. But what is a healthy church member? Today we're going to talk about a healthy church member is an expositional listener. Now, can you say that with me? A healthy church member is an expositional listener. Now, we're going to talk about what that means in a moment here. But expositional preaching as we go through this and talk about it. But just imagine that I was an owner of a big company and you were the right-hand person. You were my executive assistant, and this company was growing very, very quickly. It was being successful. It was starting to spread around the world. So I had to leave to go out of town and have a business meeting for a few months in Europe because we're going to start another branch there of this particular business. You can fill the blank in whatever business it is that you want this to be. But so I go away and I leave you in charge of the company. And so I start sending emails, one right after the other, to give you instruction on how you're supposed to manage this company, the things that you're supposed to do to get done. And there's daily tasks in any kind of business that needs to get done. And so I go overseas and I send those emails. And then I return home from that long trip. And I look at the building where the office is and the grass and the weeds have grown up and there's a window outside that's broken and the people in the plant are playing basketball with pieces of paper and a little hoop and they're shooting each other with rubber bands. The secretary that sits up front is chewing bubble gum with her feet up on the desk painting her nails. And I say, where is my executive person, my right-hand man, my right-hand woman? And they say, well, I think there's in the back. And nobody seemed to care that the owner of the company that me that has returned. And so I am very disturbed at this point. I go back and I see that you are finishing a rousing chess game with the sales manager. And they say, oh, hey, what's up? And I say, yeah, I'm wondering that myself. I say, what in the world's going on? Well, what do you mean? Well, look at this place. The place is in chaos. Our business is going down. The sales is going down. Everything is out of line. The trash cans are full. It looks like the place hasn't been vacuumed in months since I left. So didn't you get my letters that I sent to you and what you're supposed to be doing? Oh, yes, I did. And in fact, every Friday we set up meetings and we met in all different teams and groups, and we studied your letters when they came in. And we went over them and we said, there's some good things in that letter. And we studied them and we set up. In fact, some of the people memorized some of your letters, some parts of it, some whole. We recite it, and then I ask you, but what did you do with the letters I sent you? And you respond, do? What did I do about them? Well, we didn't do anything about those letters. When it comes to the Word of God this morning, when we listen to teaching and preaching and we do our personal Bible study at home, it makes a difference. There's a huge difference between maybe just hearing something and letting it brush by and taking it all the way to the level of doing the Word of God. And a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 13, I just want to read a couple of verses, because God has given us a precious gift in His Word. And then we're going to camp out in James chapter 1 today. But Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, he's talking about the disciples. He says, guys, this is why I'm talking in parables now. He's saying, when the disciples came to him, why do you speak in parables? He's answered him, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given. Remember that. The one who has, more will be given. And he will have it in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in the case of the prophecy of Isaiah, he says, indeed, they will hear, but never understand. And then he goes and gives that prophecy. And so what am I talking about this morning? Expositional listening. It goes much deeper than just hearing or seeing or reading a passage of Scripture, as we're going to look at. But expositional preaching, this is what it is. It's when the main point that the preacher's preaching is the main point that's in the Scripture. It's as simple as that. So in other words, the Scripture comes up with the main point, not the preacher. It literally means to expose or lay open the meaning of Scripture as conveyed in Scripture. And so when you listen to preaching, don't just look for practical how-to advice. Don't just look to bolster your self-esteem, although the Scripture does that, doesn't it? Or don't just look to rouse political and social calls. That's not what the preaching of the Word is about. But it's about us listening so that we can understand the meaning and apply it to our lives. You know, all over this world, there's a lot of teaching and preaching that goes on. And a lot of times the preacher says, well, you know, I'm going to preach on this. And he already has his idea of what he's going to talk about. And then he says, well, I need a couple of scriptures to back up what I'm saying. You know those TV evangelists, right? They cut and piece and say, well, the Bible doesn't exactly say this, so I'm going to have to cut a verse out here and add a verse onto here and make it say what I want it to say. Expositional preaching is literally when a preacher takes the Word of God as it is and exposes it. Expository preaching opens it up so that we can understand what it actually is saying. And so that requires a lot of study and time. And so you say, well, what about expositional listening? Listening, that means God has called you, when you hear the Word of God, to listen for the meaning of the passage of Scripture and accept the meaning as the main idea to be grasped for our personal and corporate lives as Christians. So that means we have to shut out everything else, our own ideas, and say, okay, what is this passage really saying? Sometimes you have to shut out what the preacher is saying, because sometimes his opinions can get in the way, right? So that's why we open our Bibles. That's why you have Bibles in the pews. That's why hopefully you're looking this up as we go along, because my job is to find the main point of the passage. And if I'm not finding it, you better find it. And God has called you as an expositional listener to listen to find the meaning. You know, we come, a lot of us come and hear messages for a lot of reasons. I've come, when I listen to preaching, sometimes for encouragement. That's good too, because you get encouragement from the Word of God. I come to find practical advice sometimes. I come to bolster my self-esteem who I am in Christ when I listen to the Word of God. That's all great, but that's secondary. Those are like the trappings or the desserts on the side, if you will, because the reason why we come on Sunday morning is to find out the meaning of Scripture so that we can apply it to our lives. So that's what expositional listening is. And there's benefits to this. It cultivates your hunger for the Word of God. So you don't just come and sit and say, well, I can't wait to get through this. Lunch is on the way. You better not talk long today. But if you come saying, I want to know the meaning of the Word of God, it's going to cultivate a hunger and a thirst and a desire for it. It's going to help you focus on God's will and following Him, which means our agendas become secondary. It protects the gospel in our lives from corruption. It keeps us from being deceived when we look for the meaning of Scripture. It encourages faithful pastors. Pastors are encouraged when people give ear to God's Word and apply it. You know, it's not exciting. I'll just let you on a secret for me. It's not exciting if people think, wow, that was well put together, that was great, even though that feels good. That's a good thing. But you know what really excites a preacher or somebody that's teaching the Word of God is when you take what the Word of God says, not what I say, and you apply God's Word to your life. And that's so exciting, and that's an important part of being involved in expositional listening, that you listen to find the meaning. It benefits the gathered congregations. We're united in our understanding and purpose. So, you know, I've seen and been a part of churches where everybody kind of has their own ideas of what Christianity and church is, and some people show up to church and my whole purpose for being in church today is to make sure the pastor doesn't move this pew over there, you know, or my sole purpose is to make sure so and so doesn't overtake the ministry that I'm doing and do it better than I do it. But if our purpose becomes solely, I want to find out the meaning of God's Word and I want to live it out in my life, that is what an expositional listener does. Oh, I just come to church because I hope they sing my favorite song. I hope they get me excited and I feel like dancing this morning. If you don't already come excited and dancing and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to miss out. Because I want to tell you, when there's times when I say, wow, I just really didn't sense the presence of God, and then sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so in back said, man, that was so awesome. God's presence was so strong. The problem wasn't that God's presence wasn't here. The problem was I wasn't in tune with God's presence when I came in to worship. So if we come, say, God, I want to hear from You. God, I want to know the meaning of what You've spoken to me in this Word. Well, God's Word tells us how to become an expositional listener. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And it's important you see these Scriptures this morning, because exactly as it's laid out, I will try my best to present it to you today without changing the meaning, because it speaks for itself. Now, James chapter 1, it was written to people that were scattered by persecution. They faced trials. He talks about blessed is the man who undergoes trials and in the beginning of chapter 1. And then he comes to verse 18 and he's talking of God and he says, of His own will, He brought us forth by what? The Word of truth. That we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. So he says, by God's will, when He saves us, how did He save us? He saved us by His Word. When we hear the Word of God, faith comes by hearing. When we heard the gospel preached that Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again, and we put our faith in Him, it was the hearing of the Word of God that planted the seed in our hearts. And so then he goes on to say, okay, well, how does this seed produce change? How does the Word of God produce transformation in our life? Or how does it lead us to become expositional listeners? Well, first of all, in verses 19 and 20, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God." So the first thing that God tells us in His Word is that we should develop a sharp awareness and a knowledge of God's Word. That means we need to listen to God's Word. We need to tune in to God's Word to be able to understand what it's saying. So he says to cultivate the art of quick listening. And that is, that word listen in the Greek is to attend to consider, to understand. And so, you know, in our culture today, we are a culture that's inundated with pictures, right? With movies and TV and media and Facebook and this and that. And we have lost the art of listening. I would dare say a lot of our conversations with our friends and our families kind of just go over our head, and we only hear the parts that we want to hear because it's maybe not exciting or it's not good. Or, you know, husbands especially, we have selective listening when our wives are telling us the honey-do list or whatever, or we choose not to hear those things. But God says, wait a minute here. Let every person be quick to hear. So that means we need to shut out every distraction in our lives so that we can hear what God's Word is saying. And I want to tell you that obstacles to listening to God, one of the main things we deal with today is this. This gets in the way of us hearing from God. And I'm going to harp on this probably till I die, because this is a cultural problem. This is why the church is becoming so weak, is that we are so inundated with the distractions of smartphones and computers and Facebook and social media. They get in the way of our listening. Or we are involved in too many activities in our life. There's all kinds of things going on in our culture that we can partake in and our families can participate in. And those are all good. God doesn't want us to just go hide in a corner and not partake in things that are involved, that puts us out to be a witness in the world. But I would say that those things can become a distraction of us hearing God's Word if they overtake our lives. So we have to have balance. So keys to listening. Number one, we have to be interested. Are you interested in God's Word even? Don't answer that out loud, please. Are you really interested in what God has to say about your life? Limit media and social media. I just pray that God, you know, I'm not going to make any rules because that would be legalism, right? But as the Holy Spirit shows you, hey, Mike, you're getting a little out of hand with this. You're not hearing me because you're distracted by this. I want you to cut this out of your life. Or I want you to limit your time to Facebook to a half hour a day instead of 20 hours a day, you know. All throughout the day. I mean, we're just consumed with it. We need to read the Bible and slow down and prepare ourselves for worship. You know, one of the reasons sometimes at the beginning of the service, you might say, this guy is crazy. He just wants us to hear him play a tune on the piano. Well, I don't. But when we say, let's prepare our hearts for worship, that means we're all busy. We've been distracted the week, but just to quiet our hearts and say, you know, I remember, I loved this. And growing up in my grandparents' church when we were up north, northern Michigan, and that piano guy would sit and play, and all of a sudden he would quit being extravagant on the piano, and he would just play a simple tune, and everybody in the church would get quiet. People were praying. People were preparing. Say, this is serious stuff. We're about to find out, and the meaning of God's Word is going to be exposed. We're about to sing songs about the greatness of this God. Is that we quiet ourselves and be quick to listen. Be still and know that I'm God. But then the next part of that is he says, okay, we got to be quick to listen, but slow in speaking our own ideas and agendas. There was rabbis that gave this quote. Listen carefully. He says, "Men have two ears, but one tongue, that they should hear more than they speak." I'll read that again. "Men and women have two ears, but one tongue, that they should hear more than they speak." The ears are always open, right? Ever ready to receive instruction. But the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in and keep it within proper bounds. That's another reason why God gave us teeth, right? If we in our spiritual lives would be quick to listen, to slow down, maybe keep those teeth clenched enough. You know, my grandfather always had a saying, and I probably said it before, but he was talking about one of my grandmother's friends who talks very fast and a lot, and you have to know what whippoorwills are, and the bird that flies. When they fly, their tail, their butt moves really, really fast. And so my grandpa's saying was, and it's sad that I have to explain that today, but, you know, he says, "She talks faster than a whippoorwill's butt moves in fly time." And I thought about that. Less talking, more listening. But God, I think it means this. You know, there are theological institutions and Bible schools and training that have interpret the Bible by already having a system of belief. And then when they come to the Word of God, they interpret it through that system of belief. That's not expositional listening or preaching. God wants us to come to the Word without any preconceived ideas or notions and learn to be slow in speaking. And that word speaking is to declare one's mind and disclose your thoughts. Sometimes it's good to keep our thoughts to ourselves. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." So we have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, the Word of God says, and keep a daily inventory on our attitudes. Slow to become angry. And that word angry is the excitement of mind. It's violent emotion and passion, and it's a movement, it's an agitation of the soul. He says very clearly in the end of verse 20 that anger does not produce a righteous life that God wants for you to have. So that can mean a bunch of different things for a bunch of different people here. It could be that maybe when you read God's Word or the preacher or somebody teaches something that you just don't want to hear, and it just makes you angry. It just causes you to burn inside. Well, if it's the actual meaning of God's Word, that's a good thing. But if you give way to anger, you'll miss what God is trying to do in your life. And usually people that are angry are people that have all kinds of opinions and agendas, and we want to make sure that everybody knows our opinion and our agenda. You know, God's Word says this, but, and then when somebody counters what we believe, or the Word of God especially encounters, we get upset. He says, keep inventory. He says, watch, make sure, because anger is not going to grow your spiritual life. He's talking about sinful anger. He's not talking about righteous anger or the good kind of anger that God's gifted us with. He's talking about the kind of anger that's destructive, is that I don't get my way here. He says it does not bring about, which means to produce. It's an activity that involves considerable expenditure of effort. He says you... And how many know that being angry takes a whole lot of effort, doesn't it? It's a whole lot of pain, too, when you try to punch the wall or something metal or try to kick your tractor when it's not getting fixed right. It hurts. It's painful. It's more trouble than it's worth. But he says righteous living. And what is righteous living? That's thinking and feeling and acting according to God's purity of life or His standards found in His Word. So, we need to develop a sharp awareness of God's Word. So that's cultivating quick listening, slow to speak, and doing inventory so that we're slow to become angry. Pay attention to God's Word. An angry spirit is never a listening, teachable spirit. When we feed on anger and bitterness, the feast is us. Think about that. When we feed on anger and bitterness, the feast is us. Secondly, how to become an expositional listener. Develop a willingness or a repentant heart to accept God's Word. How do you receive God's Word? Now read with me and look with me in verse 21 to 22. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word. There he refers again to the Word that's implanted when we're saved, which is able to save your souls. Develop a willingness or a repentant heart to accept God's Word. So the first thing, if we're going to be able to accept God's Word, and most of us in here as evangelical Christians, as church-going people would say, I accept what the Bible says. But that's what comes out of our mouth, right? That may not necessarily be what's in our hearts on a daily basis. So we need to develop a heart that's willing to receive. And he says, this is how you do it. You have to be proactive or actively involved in getting rid of, or that means to stop doing, moral filthiness or impurity. And he says, rampant wickedness. And it's interesting what that word rampant wickedness means. And that's an excessive abundance of depravity. It's trouble, suffering. It's the wickedness remaining over the Christian from the state prior to his conversion. Now remember, before we're saved, we're filled with all kinds of wickedness. When we get saved, God sets us free from that, but we still choose to live in that prison cell of wickedness. So he says, okay, there's these things in your life that are going to be distracted. So the first thing that we need to do is, before we prepare even to come to worship God or hear the Word of God, is say, God, is there something right now in my life that's going to keep me from hearing you clearly? Is there something that I have just been given over to, and I know what's wrong, but I'm doing it, but it hinders my listening to God's Word because I'm so overrun by it? I'm so consumed with it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. So it's a good practice that before we even come to hear the Word of God is to say, God, is there any areas, like David prayed, see if there be any wicked way, and confess it and say, God, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Will you please wash me in your blood so that I can hear your truth? Because mud on the windshield keeps us from hearing and seeing the Word of God. That's why we have windshield wipers. When a rainstorm comes on our car, right, we can't see out of it. Sometimes it sort of irritates Tanya because sometimes I will delay turning on the windshield wipers and I'm going like this because I don't like the noise and the going back and forth and all that kind of thing. And then she reaches over and turns it on herself, the backseat driver. You can't see anything. You need to see. Look out the window. But you know, there's a lot of us in our spiritual walk. We're listening to the Word of God. We're not expositional listeners because there's mud on the windshield and we can't even see or hear what the Word of God is trying to say. We're thinking about so many other things. So we need to bathe in God's Word. And then he says, receive the Word. And so we have to readily take the information of God's Word that's implanted in you. You know, we have 100 Bibles. How many have more than one Bible in your home? How many have more than 10 Bibles? Probably a lot of us would still have. How many know that we can go and get a Bible anywhere at any time? You can buy some. I think you used to be able to buy a Bible at Walmart even. Easily accessible. But countries where they have a language that God's Word hasn't been translated in, and they work for years to translate, what happens when they land with that plane or that helicopter with the Word of God? They aren't just like, oh, we have a bunch of them on our shelf in our little hut. They're like, They're jumping up and trying to grab the airplane or the helicopter as it's landing because they know what's coming. I've seen videos of it online. And so we have to readily accept. He says, accept, receive the word. We have to hunger for it and desire it and want it. And that word implanted means in nature. It's to be permanently in place. And then he says, how are we going to receive? We have to be meek. That's a gentleness of attitude in contrast with harshness in one's dealing with one's others. Not raising one's voice, or I might add, not raising your own opinions. Being humble enough to say, you know, yeah, I've been in church a long time, and I've learned a lot of things from the Bible, but I could be wrong. Some of the best teachers and leaders and professors and commentary writers, I'm pretty sure on what I believe and what I know the Word of God says. But if I ever reach a point where I say, I know I'm right, I'm never going to be proven wrong, I'm going to have problems with God's Word. We always need to be in that place as, you know, this is what I firmly believe, but I could be wrong in the sense that I'm open to God showing me something different from the Scripture. Not from someone's experience. Not from what grandma wants me to believe, or so-and-so wants me to believe, or this movement, or this church wants me to believe, but I need to be open to say I could be proven wrong by God's Word. With meekness. All right, so develop an awareness, have a willingness of repentant heart, and third, develop the habit of practicing God's Word. And so, how do we apply God's Word or line up our lives with it? Don't just read the menu, eat the meal. Now, if you're a complete miser, you might go and say, oh, wow, this is a unique menu here. I really like all the things. Well, I'm just going to have ice water today. Nobody does that, right? Hardly anybody does that. I mean, unless you're really, really cheap and you're hungry and it's time to eat. You go and you look at the menu and then they bring it out to you and you don't just say, well, it doesn't look like the picture, but, or, well, it usually doesn't, especially if you go to McDonald's or Burger King or something like that. It doesn't look like the picture. But you start to eat it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, expositional listener, doesn't just look at the menu, but they eat it. They put it into practice and apply it to their lives. And look what he says in the following verses, verse 22. He says, but the doers of the word are not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face in the mirror, for he looks at himself, and he goes away and once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So this is the heart of an expositional listener, is that we put into practice. And the only way to do that is to avoid the deception, or that word means to cheat. And that word listening in the Greek means to hear with limitations. And what does, when we come to the Word of God, if we have limited hearing, we become deceived, right? We become Christians. We know how to talk the talk. You say, how are you, brother? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord, right? Or we have these Christian greetings. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. And we talk, you know, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We can know, it's possible to know all these Christian sayings, but still not be living out the gospel. You know, one of the things that always strikes me as funny, many, many years ago when I was in the horror of Facebook, and I'm glad I got rid of it. You can tell I really hate Facebook. I thought it was funny that people that didn't know a thing about Christ and weren't following Christ, they would post these scripture posts. You know, little phrases and neat sayings, you know, God blesses those that bless others. You know, or You know, all these Christian sayings, but are they following Christ? See, as a culture, we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we are by using Christian terms and say, well, I go to church and I do all these things. But we have to avoid the deception. In fact, the Bible says not mere knowledge can make us prideful. Secondly, find ways to do. And that word do means a performer or a poet who produces literary texts. He's a maker, producer, and author, or an author, one who obeys or fulfills the law. So when he talks about somebody literally producing the text, it's you producing the Bible text as you live your life. Not just as a cover, but from the inside out, you become a poet, you become a producer of God's Word as you live it out. So find ways to do it as a poet, to fulfill the law of God. And then he uses this concept of a mirror. What did you see when you looked in the mirror this morning when you woke up? Anybody care to share? Hair, you mean Terry has bad hair when he first wakes up? Is it matted on the side with slobber or something? Okay. He uses this picture of God's mirror. And we're talking about the Bible as a spiritual mirror, and it's more than just seeing ourselves in it. Because when we look in the mirror of this, not only do we see ourselves or our very souls, but we see ourselves in comparison with the God that this book talks about. The God who's perfect. And so it's like, you know, looking in the mirror of a perfect model when you wake up in the morning, that you hold that picture of your model or sports hero or somebody that you think that looks really good next to you, and you're like, your eyes aren't even open, you know, one's glued shut by whatever that stuff is. You say, I really look nothing like this model. And when we look at the Word of God, we say, I really look nothing like Jesus right now. Oh well. Who did that this morning? Who looked at themselves in the mirror and didn't get the brush and the comb and the smelly stuff that goes in the breath and the perfume that sprays on? Did anybody just look at themselves and leave it the same way with matted hair and everything this morning? I don't see anybody that looks like that this morning. Let's see here. I don't know. I guess not. Sometimes I can catch some teenagers doing that, but your hair looks pretty good, Chad. So why do it with the Word of God? He says, you're like a man that looks at it, you see what you need to change, and you put it back down and do nothing about it. He says, don't forget what you just saw in the mirror. See, a sermon or a reading of God's Word or a sermon like you're hearing this morning is not just an event, but it's a truth that will change our lives. It's something that we need to think about. How can I apply this to my life? Now that I've got the meeting, how do I live it out in my life? The truth will change us. It's not just an event. Well, we got through that sermon this morning. That's done. Keep the mirror up. Because that's what changes and transforms our life. Continue to look, he says, intently. And that was to look with the head and body bowed forward so as to peer in. So in other words, you're not distracted by anything else other than this. Now, sometimes I can distract Tanya when she's fixing herself, and I can make a little noise. It's fun to make little noises when she's putting her stuff on, makeup. She's like, she was waiting for me to say something that I shouldn't say. And she's making herself beautiful and presentable for the day. And I will kind of sit and I'll go, you know, she's doing her eyeliner, I'll go, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And then she starts laughing, and, you know, you can know what happens with all that fine-tuned work. But what is distracting you from looking intently? Because she has to block out my sounds, everything around her, and look only in the mirror to get done what needs to get done with her fine-tuned beauty. Nice recovery. See, those that line their lives with God's word, he says, he who looks intently into the law that gives freedom will be blessed. In other words, prosper, be happy, be joyful. Those that line their lives up with God's word will experience this freedom. And truth acted on brings more truth. Listen to this quote. Truth acted on brings more truth. But failure to respond will ultimately result in the loss of truth. And that's what's happened to our culture. When we fail to respond to the truth of God's word, we lose truth. We lose the blessing of God in our lives. All right, final thing. If you want to be an expositional listener, not only develop a habit of practicing God's word, but you have to genuinely live God's word to the point that it bears fruit or transforms our life. And this is where he says, okay, guys, you have the word planted in you. You have it. You have copies of now of the scriptures. More than what you need. You have Bible study tools online. I'm going to add some little commentary. He says, but you can even become good and quote this. You could have meetings like you did when I went away to Europe when you took over my company. You could study it all day long. But if we don't let it change our lives, he says, if, in case you don't understand, he says, if anyone thinks, verse 26, he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself from being unstained in the world. If you want to know how the Word of God is bearing fruit in you, there's four things here. First of all, when we begin to avoid worthless religion, and that's empty, it's profitless, and develop a lifestyle of pure and undefiled religion. And that word religion means fearing or worshiping God. And so it's when we choose to get rid of the worthless religion, the fake Christian talk, the outward worship, that we develop a heart of worship. And number two, he says another thing there that's important. He goes back to the mouth. He says, if you don't have a bridle on your tongue, your religion is worthless. I believe it was John Wesley, or one of the Wesley brothers, that was preaching, and there was a lady known in the congregation that had a real critical, nasty spirit. And you know those kind of people. They look and find everything wrong with this and that, and you know, you might have some of them in your family or a distant family or co-workers that are like that. So she was looking, and he noticed she was looking, and he preaches his sermon, and she says, she comes up to him, Mr. Wesley, I have something that really offends me. Your tie, your bow tie is too long. And so he says, all right, somebody find some scissors. And so he finds, he says, no, why don't you cut it to the length that you want? So she cuts it right to the collar as she thinks it should be. And he says, now, ma'am, I would also like to critique you. Your tongue is so long, it's wagging all the time, and it offends me. Now allow me to cut your tongue to the length that I think that it should be. Well, when we gain a bridle on our tongue, over our tongue, we have self-control and we have purity in our words. So we have purity in our worship when we get rid of worthless religion, the faking it stuff. We have purity in our words when we get a grip on our tongues. And then third, when we selflessly sacrifice our lives to serve the needs of others, and that is purity in our actions. And it's interesting the things that he mentions here. And these are things that we forget about very often in church, in our walks with God today. If you want to know what someone who is affected by the Word of God is like, then look at how they go to visit. And that word visit in the Greek means to inspect, to look upon in order to help or benefit. How many times have you looked upon somebody to see if you can benefit? because they've been widowed. They may not have a husband, or they've been orphaned. They don't have a father or mother. And you go and look in on them to see how you can fill some needs and some voids in their life. That is a person that's been an expositional listener that is touched by the Word of God. It's visiting those without a family, and it includes looking after those that are afflicted, those that are dealing with pressure and direct suffering in their life. See, a true Christian looks after those that are suffering around the world even. So he says, just in case you misunderstand this whole Word of God thing, this is what it's supposed to produce in your life. He says it's sincere reverence, worship of God, purity in our words, purity in our actions. And then last, he says this one word that we probably don't like to hear. He says to keep ourselves from being unstained in the world. You know that you're called to be holy as God is holy as a Christian? You're called to get rid of moral filth in your lives. He says when we keep our lives, that means to guard, keep with our eye upon, like a watchdog, our lives unstained with physical and moral spots by the world system. And the world system here in the literal Greek is an arrangement of morals of the people that are not saved or alienated from God. So it's a lot of times the things we hear on TV and on the movie. People that are alienated from God, this is their system of morals. This is what they believe. This is what they try to encourage and influence us to believe. Holiness. That's purity of our heart. There was a pastor who was a minister in a distinguished Presbyterian church. That seems the theme this morning. The Presbyterian church that has the good sound system, Brian. Although they didn't have it back then. This is back in the day. He was approached by his doctor who attended his church. And he said, Dr. Babcock, I'm really concerned about your health. And you've been busy. You've been working very hard. And you need some relaxation. And so he says, why don't you take these and go to this play? So he took the tickets and looked at what kind of play it was. He looked at them, and seeing that they were tickets to the kind of play that he could not with his conscience go and attend as a holy follower of Jesus Christ. He says, thank you, but I can't go. And the doctor asked, well, why not? You're tired and you need this entertainment. You need this recreation. And he replied, he says, yes, I'm tired and I do need recreation. That's a fact. But doctor, it's this way. You're a physician. And when you go in to perform surgery, you get your scrubs and you clean everything and make sure your hands are clean. And before you go into surgery, because you don't want to go into surgery with dirty hands. You're meticulous about it. He says, but I am a servant of Christ. And I deal with human souls. And I wouldn't dare do my work with a dirty life. Transformation of God's Word. So I want to encourage you today, an expositional listener listens, tunes in. They have a willingness and humility to receive and accept God's Word. They develop a practice of doing it, and then they bear fruit and are transformed by it. I want to challenge you this week to read the end of that chapter 1, to say, Lord, how can I become an expositional listener for your kingdom? How can I be transformed by your word? And I think, you know, one of the good ways for all of us to become healthy listeners is to take these notes, read them, take this passage of Scripture, read it over and over and over again until it sinks into your hearts. So, Father, I just thank you so much for all that you've given us in your Word. And Lord, I would be the first to admit I'm not always an expositional listener. I ignore what you say, or I'm busied and troubled by too many different things in my life, and I struggle. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us to be able to apply this truth and this word to our hearts today. God, I pray that all over this congregation, that these truths of your scripture, that everyone would forget any opinions or thoughts or funny illustration or anything that I've said, and only take the meaning of what you've said. Jesus, here we are. We come before you. In your name, amen. Let's sing this closing song this morning, and as a commitment to God.